We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
They say in life there are only two certainties, death and taxes. After yesterday, I'm adding a third certainty to the list. Fourth quarter magic from the Oakland Raiders.
Carr looking left, lobbing for the end zone for Robert. He made the catch. Touchdown! Raiders! Singled up right. Derek Carr got a handoff to Murray off the left side. A cutback. Touchdown! Raiders! Hilton in the gun. Slot left. Olsen runs an out cut. They fake that. They screen. Intercepted by Khalil Mack. Derek, a low snap, catches it, Cox throws for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Raiders, Clyde Wolfe is back on fourth down, time, ball got stripped, the ball is three, the Raiders will take over on downs, the Raiders are 9-2, how did they win this one, what a game.
Greg Papa at his absolute finest as your Oakland Raiders come back to defeat the Carolina Panthers 35-32 for a 9-2 record and spot atop the AFC West. Good morning. Alongside Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. This is Mornings with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Boys, the Raiders again give us just absolute treasure to talk about on a Monday. But first, how was everyone's Thanksgiving?
Dibs, did you have a nice time with the family? Joe, yes, and thank you for asking. Great holidays, stayed around the bay, withstood the rain a little bit, did some work. Overall, had a great 4 days.
Lo?
Yeah, it was great, Joe. Thanks for asking. You know, Mom was great. She enjoyed it. She said happy Thanksgiving to all you guys, and she really had fun and enjoyed the show.
How was the turkey?
Turkey was unbelievable.
Mama Neal was tremendous yes. during her radio debut so last good. Wednesday. We thank her again for coming on. Anna, how was Tahoe?
Tahoe was great. Tahoe. We ended up getting a nice little last-minute storm the day before we left, so we got here safe and sound. We're good. 80 people, though, ended up showing up on Thanksgiving, though. 80.
I can't even fathom that. Yeah. We were the exact opposite. Two of us, two pets, and it was still not without family drama. I cannot get away from this FaceTime thing that my mother insists we do. Well, let's do FaceTime. Let's see everybody. We don't need to see everyone.
Let's just pick up
the phone. Let's have a conversation. I don't need yet another tour of my brother's house. I've seen the house. I've seen my father. Yeah. I've seen my mother. I know what they look like. We don't need to do the FaceTime. Whatever happened to just a good old-fashioned phone call?
They just want to see your face, though, Jody.
We couldn't even wish each other happy Thanksgiving. It just digressed in this whole, why is it got to be FaceTime? No, it's got to be FaceTime. And then it just, you know, it's a terrible phone call.
So basically what you're saying is we're all family. Let's just talk.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be the name of the book.
That's what you're saying.
I'm looking forward to Lowe's book on that. And hopefully you can add a chapter on FaceTime. But before we get into all the big stories ranging from the Florida Panthers firing their coach to FaceTime, here comes your update.
And it starts, Joe, with those Oakland Raiders blowing a 24-7 halftime lead. They rallied from behind to beat Carolina 35-32. One of the big highlights came from Khalil Mack.
Newton in the gun. Slot left. Olsen runs an out cut. They fake that. They screen. Intercepted by Khalil Mack. Touchdown! Raiders!
Mack, the first with a sack, forced fumble, pick, and a touchdown in the same game low since Charles Woodson in 2009. How about this youngster for the Raiders?
Let him eat. Let Khalil Mack eat. He's absolutely amazing. This guy is a game changer. He's a defensive monster. Love the kid.
Monster. The Raiders at 9-2 hosting Buffalo Sunday. Story number two, Colin Kaepernick. Pretty nice day in Miami.
Second down and 10. They fake it to Hyde. Throw it to Hyde. And Hyde will find the end zone. And the 49ers losers of nine in a row. put together a sensational drive to jump in front.
Tom Brenneman on Fox, making 10 straight losses. Miami gets them 31-24. But Joe, Cap, 296 in the air, 113 on the ground. Pretty good day for number seven.
Not only that, the last play of the game. I know the Niners came up short. I know Cap wasn't able to get it in the end zone, but he was willing to take a vicious hit to try to get this team a victory. Tell you what, I've been critical of him all year. Him, the team, the front office, all that. Next week against Chicago, with the way the Niners have upped their game in the second half this season, you got an opportunity. I think that's a winnable game next week, believe it or not, Dibs.
They're going to stay in Florida and then travel to Chicago. Story number three, how about those Dubs? 15-2, 11 straight victories. Hosting the Atlanta Hawks tonight at Oracle Arena. Our coverage begins at 6 on your home for the Golden State Warriors. It's right here on the FM dial, 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff, Dibs. Thank you very much. I wanted to begin the show with a game recap, kick around some of those Khalil Mack topics, the dislocated pinky heard around the world, but I'm going to have to acknowledge the problems I have coming my way, and I already got hit with this last night. Predicted the Raiders at 8-8 before the season started. Didn't have them making the playoffs. Thought it was going to take one more year. I was dead wrong. It only took 11 games to exceed that total. 9-2 they are right now, and I've got a bevy of lunch bets I owe. Two people hit me up yesterday. Anthony's on the phone. Put him through. Anthony, good morning. Go ahead.
What's up, fellas? Good morning, Joe.
Sound happy.
Oh, and Dibs. Man, I'm going to work right now. So pumped, man. Joe, I'm going to enjoy that lunch of you, buddy. And let me call it right now, bro. Tuck Rule Game 2.0, AFC Championship Game. The Raiders go to New England and pick the upset, bro. Calling it right now. Get ready, Joe.
Beautiful stuff, Anthony. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. Talk to our producer on the back end. Let him get your info. I owe you lunch. Here's how this is going to work. You're coming to me, though. I'm not coming down to San Jose to you. You come to me. I got to get something out of this deal.
You can do a neutral, maybe a San Mateo?
No neutrals. I think there's a little cafe right across the street from where I live. Everyone's okay. Cashing in on that lunch there. I'm going to go in and try to finagle some sort of deal because that's already the third individual.
Ooh.
A lot of lunch, Dibs. I've lost a lot of lunch on this scenario. We will address that throughout the day, but let's start with the game. 35-32, Khalil Mack, low. I think starting there is the best possible spot. Remember a few weeks ago when it was, what's wrong with Khalil Mack? Defense can't get him free. Khalil was supposed to have this big season. What happened? Last six games, 7 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, a pick six, 29 total tackles. And oh, by the way, yesterday's game-winning strip sack recovery to ice it for the Raiders and give them their 9th win before we even get to the month of December. This guy right now, defensive player of the year conversation, is he back in it?
He's got to be. He's got to be. Everyone says, you know, fast horse starts, run fast, but don't run long. He did it the right way. This guy eased into it. Even when they weren't getting the numbers that everyone wanted to talk about, Joe, he was still putting pressure on the quarterback. He still was playing good football. People just want to see those godly numbers, and now he's putting them up.
5 straight victories for the Silver and Black, their first winning season since 2002, Dibs. Derek Carr yesterday, now an NFL best, 12 tying or go-ahead touchdown passes in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
This team is not out of any game they play in whatsoever.
And you look at the offensive line and how they play early in games, able to establish the run or not establish the run, but protect Carr. And by the fourth quarter, this offensive line is still giving him time to throw. And he's able to step away and throw the deep ball to Michael Crabtree that sets up the game-winning field goal. He's making plays despite having a bum finger, in large part because the offensive line gives him time to do it.
Lo, you ever have a dislocated pinky or dislocated finger?
Yeah, absolutely I have. It's in pain. You're in pain, but you suck it up. It was amazing to see a quarterback because, you know, your pinky, you don't necessarily put that much pressure on it, but it's still tough for your quarterback, and you see they didn't go underneath center at all anymore. But the biggest thing about that whole deal, it was interesting. It's sort of like watching a fighter, a gladiator come out. Especially after he gets hurt, he goes in, and it got so quiet. The stadium was quiet. All of a sudden, he makes this grand entrance. You hear him running in.
Yeah.
And the crowd just roars. I mean, he is the Raiders. Derek Carr is the Raiders, and this franchise now, it's official. He's carrying them.
I'm not coming in to do radio if I dislocate my pinky. And I literally don't need my pinky for anything we do here. I can just use my index finger to turn the microphone on and off. on and off. He's out of series, comes back in. It's not just about the injury. Throws the interception, had the fumble before that with the injury. Resilient. This team, resilient. They're building up this level of confidence now where there's never going to be a situation they're in where they believe they're out of it. Certain teams can break in the second half. Certain teams, you get towards that fourth quarter, you just see the mentality start to wilt. They realize they're not a team that can come back. The thought process is, oh, here we go again. This team, no matter the situation, I mean, to blow a huge lead, 25 unanswered points, and then to storm right back and steal it from the defending NFC champions.
Yeah, Cam Newton came to life in that second half, and the Raiders, you know, for that brief moment where Carr was in the locker room, there was that sick feeling of, oh, geez, I hope he didn't break his pinky. Because then, Lo, it's a different story, right? Broken pinky versus dislocated pinky. You can't really reset a break like you can the dislocation.
Yeah, you know, he went in probably, and they just, you know, you can buddy tape it. They tape it together, tape it really tight, and, you know, they put some gauze on. You just stuck it up. You got to go. But Carr showed some, he showed some grit yesterday.
Just the tip of the iceberg for our Raider coverage today on this Raider Monday, brought to you by Antioch Toyota. Go to AntiochToyota.com today and the Oaks Card Club. Ladies and gentlemen, which team wins in a head-to-head battle, the 2002 Raiders or your current Raiders? That plus the state of the AFC and the AFC West with a thriller in Denver last night. It's Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Proud of our guys for hanging in there and finding a way. You know, it's been a theme for us this year. The first half was really good. The third quarter was really tough. And then we came back and finished and won the game. So I'm really proud of our guys for keeping their poise and staying with it and making enough plays to win today against a really good football team.
That's Action Jack Del Rio, who, if we're going to go ahead and talk about Carr for MVP, Khalil Mack being back in the Defensive Player of the Year award race, got to talk about Jack Del Rio for Coach of the Year. 9-2 are your Oakland Raiders after a 35-32 victory over the Carolina Panthers yesterday. That music right there, the intro music for Brett the Hitman Hart, if I'm not mistaken, who was at the game yesterday, Dibs.
You got a good ear, Joe. Absolutely a great ear.
Anyone know why the Hitman's sitting in the upper level, though? Is he just a man of the people? You would think, can we get the Hitman some better seats?
Man of the people.
Come on, Hitman. And where was Jim the Anvil? Hitman's going to be there. Where was Jim the Anvil?
Where was Jim the Anvil?
He may have been at the Grey Cup, which apparently happened this weekend. More on that later.
He might have better seats, Joe. That's all.
Go. Let's go ahead and hit the Raiders on the 15. Drop me some music.
It's time for Raiders on the 15.
Raiders on the 15, ladies and gentlemen. Lo, we're going to start with you. Give me something you loved about yesterday's victory.
I think it's this young man and no one's talking about. He's always making plays in crucial situations. Even this time he started off a game, none other than Seth Roberts. If you watch Seth, the way this guy's catching the ball in traffic, the thing that he's able to do, he might be a true number two or one receiver in the National Football League.
Now Carr looking left, lobbing for the end zone for Roberts. He made the catch. Touchdown! Raiders!
The only thing Seth Roberts does is catch huge passes.
Huge.
You never see him on second and six in the first quarter. You see him for game-winning touchdowns. You see him for game-winning, game-tying, two-point conversions. Seth Roberts is always there for the big-time plays, Dibs.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. I'm going to play the obvious card. Call me Captain Obvious if you want, Lo, but Khalil Mack needs special praise again. Six tackles, but he hit for the cycle with an interception, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown, the first is Charles Woodson to do so. Khalil Mack straight wrecked the game, Joe.
He's in full beast mode. I hate to rip it off from Marshawn Lynch. Shout out Oakland, California.
Thanks.
But he is in full beast mode. That boy cannot be blocked. Big game against Buffalo this weekend. Tyrod Taylor better look out for me. How about some love for Clive Walford yesterday? This is a guy who expectations were high when he came out of Miami. Expectations were high coming into the season. He's continually derailed himself via injuries 2 years ago, the ATV accident this past year. But sure enough, yesterday in one of the biggest of spots, three receptions, 43 yards and a touchdown. That was a beautiful beautiful touchdown grab. More importantly, you won't see this in the box score. Walford's run blocking yesterday was the best it has ever been in his short two-year career. He was outstanding in run blocking. He was outstanding when the ball was thrown his way. Only four passes, four total targets, but he turned three of them into big receptions. Clive Walford, big shout out. Raiders on the 15s brought to you by Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. And that is going to lead us into today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Anna, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Monday. So today's question, who's a bigger concern for the Raiders? Would it be the Chiefs or the Patriots? You can let us know what you think by going to 957thegame.com. Polls on the right-hand side of the page. Also go to Twitter at 957thegame. Use the hashtag TakeYourPick. Let us know what you think.
Chiefs or Patriots, ladies and gentlemen. The Patriots are now back on top of the AFC standings after the Raiders had a short stint there last week. The reason? The Patriots won a conference game yesterday. The Raiders did not. And that is the current tiebreaker. Both sit atop at 9-2, followed by the Chiefs at 8-3, who won a thriller, absolute thriller last night in Denver, went all the way down to the wire. Every final second of overtime was used as Kansas City emerges victorious 30-27. Tyreek Hill with a monster game, rush touchdown, receiving touchdown, kick return touchdown. First guy to do that in the NFL since Gale Sayers in 1965. This kid was a mid-round draft pick who Kansas City thought would be a gadget player. That's what Andy liked in him. He wanted a gadget player with some speed. Now, because of the injuries to Macklin and some others, Tyreek Hill has emerged as a big-time playmaker. So, Lo, I'll come to you. The bigger threat in the AFC. We're actually talking about this. We're not talking about a wild card berth. We're not talking about sneaking into the playoffs. We're talking who is the biggest threat to the Raiders taking the AFC. The conference, not the division. How do you see it?
It's interesting because now everyone is talking about, hey, the Raiders are still focused one game at a time. And it's our job to talk about a little foresight and tell you who's more of the competition to them. To me, it's simple. You see what the Kansas City Chiefs are. You see Tom Ali last night. You see those guys, Houston. This team.
Tom Ali, shout out Penn State.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got to get it in there.
You got to.
Better than Michigan, better than Ohio State. People need to acknowledge the fact that Penn State is, in fact, the best team in the Big Ten.
You went a little farther, Joe. You had me. I acknowledge those guys, but I don't know about that. But just to watching this defense, that Barry kid, he'll hit you.
Oh, my God. Last night, Eric Berry was laying the wood out there.
Yeah. So when you're asking me the question of all around team and defense and everything, Kansas City Chiefs.
Dibs, do you feel the same way?
No, I think it's New England, you know, and to be the champ, you got to beat the champ, and New England's done it so many times, and Tom Brady got his 200th win yesterday as a starting quarterback, soon to be the all-time leader in wins.
They won a Super Bowl last year?
No, but how many Super Bowls have they won, Lo Neal?
You said to be
the champ.
And
when you talk about going to avenge the demons as an organization, the Raiders, the Tuck Rule, and New England, all of that looms down the road. This Raider team is going to make the playoffs. Even if they lose to Kansas City, they're still going to make it in the playoffs. So New England's the team that looms the largest.
Anna, Kansas City, New England, or perhaps someone else?
Well, for me, I got to also go New England on this one. Kansas City may be a really good overall team, but they haven't proven it in the playoffs right now. And the Patriots just seem to find their magic. Tom Brady's still probably one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And you just can't go against the Patriots right now. And like you said, Dibs, the two words that scare the Raiders the most, the Tuck Rule. So we don't want that mental block in the playoffs.
I think it comes down to the situation for me. I can't sit here and just pick one. I think it's going to be situation-based. If you get New England at home, I'm not that worried about New England. Good team, great quarterback. They don't bring an elite defense to the table. Derek Carr can hang 30 on New England. You can get into a shootout with the Patriots and beat them. I don't necessarily like the idea, however, of going to Foxborough in January. Main reason for that has nothing to do with the Raiders. It has to do with the fact that New England, look at their home record under Brady. Look at their home record in the playoffs under Brady. Look at their playoff record in general. You don't go to Gillette and get wins. I know people will bring up that Jet game with Bart Scott from a few years ago, but go through their history. Very difficult to go into Gillette and get a win by any standard. Kansas City scares me on either front. At Arrowhead, yeah, we know how dangerous that could be. At home, however, I think that team is still built to come in here because what does Kansas City do very well? They play very good defense.
Yep.
But Alex Smith can get this Oakland defense. He can get them. And I know he looks at times like nothing more than a game manager. I think he's the ultimate friend zone player, quite frankly. That's what I was saying on Twitter last night. I think Alex Smith is the human embodiment of the friend zone. He's nice, but do you really love him? He's nice, but are you going to marry him? Are you going to take him home to mom? No, he's the friend zone. That's how I see it,
Dibs. That's a pretty good analogy. It's good to have a good friend. And Alex Smith could come into Oakland and maybe do damage. But I think Kansas City's a team that they can adjust against and certainly learn from the first outing and hopefully go into Kansas City and beat the Chiefs.
You know, yesterday the defense struggled. And, you know, we've seen this before, but the Greg Olsen drop at the end of that game. How big was that scenario? Because it felt like Seabass gets that field goal and you're looking at how much time's on the clock and you're thinking, man, you're not going against, I don't know, Andy Dalton here. It's Cam Newton. This guy can lead him down the field.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. I wanted him to score. I thought Crabtree got held on that little angle route. Thought Carr kind of could have let him a little bit more, put it right in his chest. That was one of those like, ah, please score. But that was tough right there. And you saw the time on the clock and you just said, this is the team that had the ball last probably was going to win that game. But yeah, Olsen, that drop. And he had a hell of a game yesterday too, Joe, by the way. But that drop was huge.
Speaking of which, Michael Crabtree. You talk about Seth Roberts making big catches. Crabtree is just Mr. Third Down. Is there a better, more reliable third down receiver in the game?
It'd be hard to find one. He comes through with big catch after big catch. The toe drag on the sideline.
So cute.
And then deep down the field, able to use his body, shield off the defender, loses his helmet and makes the catch that sets up the game-winning field goal. He's a monster.
But that's great coaching, too. That's great coaching and great scheming. Because what you did is you had him drag the middle to see what they're playing too deep, and they had two Mike. That's where the Mike has to run with the receiver. It's a mismatch. He's supposed to make that catch. Carr pulls with that ball, and that's supposed to be a hookup.
Real quick, does he get fined for leaving his jersey untucked all game like that?
No, I think if it's really long, then he gets fined. But if it's up to where it's at,
he has it hanging pretty low.
Then he's getting fined.
Because it's every game. It's pretty much a style statement at this point, which I don't necessarily mind. But is he getting popped for that?
Oh, yeah. Checks in the mail.
I do like the gold chain, though. I like the gold chain out there.
Gold chain.
That looks good.
He's got the little kid in play. He's got the little crew top going.
That's his move. Raider Mondays brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. Drive a little, save a lot. Dolan's Lumber, Doors, and Windows. Cuban Ron, hang on. We'll get to you in just a moment. But in just his 17th game with the team, Kevin Durant has done something no one else has in Warrior franchise history. That and more next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Raider Nation's going to go all the way this year, all the way. Number one right here.
Will Colin Kaepernick be back next season? Matt Maiocco joins us coming up at 7:30. Now back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
McGee screens, Curry catches, fakes, flyby, off the dribble, rotates to Durant, deflected, Durant gets it, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, takes a dribble, it's a three, got it, at the horn, Kevin Durant with the triple.
Oh yeah, the sultry sounds of Tim Roy right there. He'll join us Wednesday like he does every week at 9 o'clock. What's up, Raider Nation? Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. You are 9-2, son. 9-2 on the season. We aren't even in December yet.
Okay.
We're going to get right into the Dubs here in about a minute, but Cuban Ron in Vallejo has been hanging on for a while. Cuban Ron, put him through. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Love the passion. Lowe, man, you're always on fire, even on TV. But one thing I got to say, 9-2, we've waited a long time, man. I'm a lifelong fan. We've been going out there. It seemed like just yesterday we're 0-10 out in the rain, tailgating, still there for our boys. One thing that we got is we got a big leader. On the defensive side, of course, you got Khalil Mack, who's just taking charge. Derek Carr, what can you say about a man who busts his finger off? I thought he was going to pull a running lot, bite the digit off, and come back.
Bring it, baby.
I knew he was coming back. Oh, my God. I was so excited.
Don't stop.
One other thing, man, guys. One thing that's real important to me, tailgating and family, that's what it's all about. Our family is our Raiders, man. And I got two friends. Chuck Smith, Mr. Nice Season, Thor Helm, up for the finalists. They're going to win it, man. The barbecue challenge. I love all you guys, man. I love Raider fans. That's my take. Thank you.
Cuban Ron. Cuban Ron bringing it.
Cuban Ron.
Call up
man.
Anytime, Cuban Ron. So that was dynamite that stuff. Dynamite
fantastic.
Stuff.
Fantastic.
You know what I thought about yesterday?
No.
Warriors in about 1 minute. I think you can make the case that the Oakland Raiders are now America's team. I don't think Dallas is America's team. I know they will always cling to that moniker, but what about the Cowboys says America? Right? What about the Cowboys says America? That sparkling new stadium they play in, the fact that they're just on cruise control, that's not America's team. They were at one point, I'll acknowledge that. I think this team embodies America better than any other team out there. I think the Oakland Raiders have become America's team. Persistence, hard work, very blue collar. Look at the leaders, Derek Carr, Khalil Mack, relatable individuals.
I like it.
I don't think Zeke Elliott's necessarily relatable. I don't think Tony Romo was all that relatable. And that's not a negative sort of statement. You're a star quarterback. You date Jessica Simpson and other supermodels and personalities. But that's not relatable to us. I think Khalil Mack comes across as a relatable guy. Derek Carr, a man of faith. A lot of people can relate to him.
Sure.
Second round pick. You're playing in, let's face it, not exactly the nicest of stadiums, but you don't let that get in the way. The fan base doesn't let it get in the way. The fan base at 0-10 will sit out there in the rain. I think this team embodies America more than any other team. I think the Oakland Raiders are America's team.
Joe, I mean, you make a profound point there when you're talking about, especially when you talk about Carr. No one loves Derek Carr more than me. No one. I mean, let me get to the Carr. But you think about this guy in 3 years in the league. I don't think there's a more third-year quarterback that's more relatable, that's more focused, that's more dedicated and just down the earth, that trusts the process because it's not about football. If you watch his whole demeanor and watch it, just watch and listen, you heard him when he talked even about the debate and talked about the presidential. He's like, look, some people don't love coaches, but we still have one common goal, and that's to win. Listen at this guy articulate who he is, what he's about. You might be right, Joe. No one loves Derek Carr. No, I mean, it's no one but me.
Maybe his family, but you're right up there. His wife and his family and then Lo Neal, the Prince of Fresno. Speaking of which, we got a lot to talk about regarding the Prince of Fresno and what's been going on down there lately. Wow. We'll save that for later. But to pay off the tease, your Golden State Warriors. Oh, 11 straight victories. Huh. Ho-hum, 11 straight victories. You are the number one scoring offense in the game. 118.4 points per game. To put that in perspective, you know who number two is? Cleveland. 6 points per game less. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be the leader by a few fractions of a point. 6 full points. They now are number one in the NBA in point differential, plus 13.2. The Clippers were. They've been losing a little bit. They're second at 10.4 points per game. Now, enough with the numbers. This team's number one in the West. They've won 11 straight, and you've got Atlanta tonight at home, which you can hear right here on 95.7 The Game. Tip time 7:30. Warriors warm up with Damon Bruce, and Kerry Keating kicks off at 6 p.m. But Kevin Durant, you know what he's done that no Warrior has? Per Elias, 25 points, 10 boards, 5 assists, 5 blocks. First in the game to do that since 1973, 1974, when blocks were first tracked. 17 games KD's been here. He's already setting marks like that, while the rest of the team is just tearing apart the opposition dips.
And that's without Draymond Green in the lineup. And that's why, to me, it was so important not only to pick up the slack from an assist standpoint, because Draymond Green's done so well at running the point forward, but the blocks. 6 of the team's 8 block shots, and this in a game where Minnesota kind of came out and took it to you a little bit, dictated the tempo. Warriors' defense was off early. Then they really hunkered down on the defensive end, turned that game around. And this is a nice surprise for people who thought Kevin Durant was really just an offensive player to see him play such good defense and have the 6 blocks in a monster game.
We weren't on the air last Thursday or Friday, obviously, but Wednesday night, we didn't get to talk about this, the rematch against the Lakers, 149-106.
Oh, my.
I hope you played the over in that game, which cashed probably with 8 minutes to go in the second quarter, Lo. I mean, is this the best offense the NBA's ever seen?
Without a doubt. And not just that, Joe, when you guys are talking about a guy in Kevin Durant, KD, as I like to say, think about this guy. Who was one of the guys who he went to, and he's always in his face saying, how do I get better? What's the defensive coach name? Where is he from? Fresno State.
Ron Adams.
You think about Ron Adams, what he's brought to Kevin's game, and Kevin's always trying to be around him. This guy, who can't he block? He's almost a 7-footer. You can put him in any center, give him an opportunity. He can block anyone because he's just as tall as anyone on the court. It's good for KD.
I was going to save this question for later in the show, but I'm going to float it now, and we'll get into it throughout the day. Who's a more exciting watch, the Warriors or the Raiders? Think about that. Last year, 2 years ago, the Warriors in a landslide over everybody in the Bay, perhaps over everybody in sports. The Warriors were the most exciting team. Now they might not even be the most exciting on that multi-acre parcel
right. They
sit on. Have the Raiders become a more exciting watch than the Warriors?
I was talking to a mutual friend yesterday about this very question, and he was arguing that because the Warriors have so many lopsided victories, that it's not as compelling. This Raider situation, 9-2 is unbelievable, but the way they're winning games, whether it's a nail-biter or coming from behind or coming from ahead and then falling behind like they did yesterday, the Raiders are more exciting just because the games are much closer.
We're going to get more into that later. Colin Kaepernick, nice performance in South Florida yesterday. However, he couldn't prevent his team from setting another franchise mark. And this one, it's not one you want to own. That's coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
Will Colin Kaepernick be back next season? Matt Maiocco joins us coming up at 7:30. Now, back to Raider Mondays. Here's Joe Lowe and Dibs.
And here it is. Kaepernick will run it and deny the end zone on the game's final play by Ndamukong Suh.
Tell you one thing. That's a nice performance from Colin Kaepernick yesterday. For not exactly having a full arsenal at his disposal, the Niner quarterback throws for 296 yards, three touchdowns, picks up 113 yards on the ground on just 10 carries, combination of, I believe, four read option plays and a handful of scrambles, and he kept his team in it. Gave him a chance to win late, but Miami emerges 31-24 over the San Francisco 49ers, sending the faithful to their 10th consecutive loss, which sets a franchise mark. What would you like to begin with here? The positive? Because there's positive. Lo, you've been trumpeting the fact that Colin Kaepernick still has something left in the tank, that he could still be a starting quarterback in the National Football League. And I think yesterday on the road in a hostile environment against the Miami team that has now won six straight games, he had his team in it right up until the end. And that was pretty much on his shoulders because the defense gave up 30-plus for the sixth time in their last seven games and eighth time overall this year.
And that's the thing. Do I think this guy's an elite quarterback, Joe? No, by no stretch of imagination. I think for the next 3 to 4 years, Colin Kaepernick will be a darn fine piece, as Tom Sula would say.
Tom Jim Sula.
He's a nice piece. Think about it. The guy, what he's able to do with his legs, I think Russell Wilson maybe can do it, maybe. But for Colin, the consistency he shows you with his legs, 113 yards rushing, what he's able to do, throwing the ball, the different things, he gives you options. His legs make his arm better than what it is because of the illusion, because of the things he can do. He pretty much, you think about it, he's a chef that's in the kitchen that doesn't have a lot of ingredients, and he's still making it taste pretty good. It's eatable. And because this Niner team, let's be real, offensively, you don't have consistency. You don't have necessarily any great receivers. So I think that what he's been able to do, it's okay, but you need to win.
And they didn't do him a lot of favors in yesterday's game. A lot of drops. Torrey Smith had a couple drops over the middle. Just not doing a lot for Colin Kaepernick. Celek with the fumble, the straight giveaway.
And he's one of your better players. And he had a big, good game, but he fumbled. But Celek had some great catches, too. He dropped a couple.
But through all that, Coach, they still had a chance to win that football game. Colin Kaepernick 1 or 2 yards away. And I think it says a lot about Chip Kelly and the fact that the team hasn't gone into shutdown mode. You've lost 9 in a row on the road in a game that doesn't mean very much, yet they kept competing all the way through the end.
Yeah, Joe, I had a question for you. Why didn't Chip cry? Why didn't he cry?
Are you talking about Hugh Jack?
Yeah.
We'll get to Hugh Jack. Hugh Jack cried because he lost his 12th straight. Maybe after the next couple losses, Chip will cry at the podium as well. Hugh Jack, do we have that audio? Back there, Hugh Jackson, head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I'm not loud. It's sad.
No, I know. Here, go ahead and play. This is Hugh Jack after the game when Cleveland came up just short against the New York Giants.
I'm a fighter, and we got a bunch of fighters in that room. And I don't lose many fights. I've never lost many fights, you know. And so we're going to keep swinging. I've lost a lot right now. You can either beat yourself up, and I do that enough. Or you can put your head down and keep fighting and push through this. And that's what we're going to do as a football team and as an organization. And I totally get where the fans are and what they may feel. You know, they deserve better. Being 0-12 is probably the hardest thing ever.
Wow, it's a tough go of it there. First of all, don't worry about the fans. They just won an NBA title and they were in the World Series. Fans are fine, all right? Your job is to deliver the number one overall pick. You're 0-12. You're not going anywhere. No. You know what you've got? You got Terrell Pryor. He's turning into a beast. So give him the contract he needs so that you can keep him under wraps for the future. And now you've got a weapon for the next quarterback you bring in. No one expected Hugh Jack to do a whole lot this season. It's nice to see the emotion, but bottom line is you have the inside track on the number one overall pick, which leads us back to the Niners. This team is getting dangerously close to winning a football game here or there, which is going to jeopardize that position. Suddenly, they're showing up in the second half. Yesterday, Niners score 17 in the second half. Dolphins score 17 in the second half. Here comes the Bear game in Chicago against what? Matt Barkley? That's a winnable game.
Yeah.
So what do you want if you're the Niners? Do you want to go out there and win that game and show you can do it? Or do you realize, look, we're not going anywhere. Be competitive, but don't actually go out and win this thing.
I think you need to go out and win. And if Chip Kelly is going to be your head coach going into next year, and it looks like he will be, despite rumors of him going back to whatever college job is open this week, if he comes back, you need to have some continuity. You need to have a sense that guys are going to compete for him and still try to win. It's a long way to go until the offseason. They're 1-10. You have 5 more games to play. You can't have guys quitting on you now in November, even though you're out of the postseason. So, yes, keep try to win.
Lo, this game against Chicago, this thing's winnable. This is a winnable football game for the Niners.
It really is, Joe. When you look at it, Barkley, you think about the quarterback position. You think about what's going on. They don't have Alshon Jeffries, the receiver. So, yeah, without a doubt, this is a game that they can go in and win this game. And you talk about Chip Kelly. Even when guys say, hey, I want to play for a pick, you can't make a guy drop an interception. Because guys got incentive. You can't have a guy say, I'm not going to run hard. So if they jump on this Chicago team and they're winning, guys want to they want to get on that plane, that 3-hour ride home, flight back, and be able to laugh. They want to be able to enjoy themselves.
Play Boo-Ray.
It's bad when you're on a plane and you're flying home and you're just losing, you're losing. You get on the plane, you're like, okay, eat your food. No one's really talking. Coaches are mad. Everyone's mad. You're just like, God, I want to hurry up and get off this plane. Winning, you get to celebrate a little bit. Have a good time on the way home. So they can win this one. They should win this
If I'm not mistaken, in San Diego, you had some good flights home with Quentin Jammer and Darren Sproles and all that.
Boy, Joe, we had some absolutely amazing time. We were 14-2. It wasn't a lot of bad trips on the way home.
What is that like, though? Take us through the flip side. You had a tough go of it in Cincinnati that one year.
Man.
2-14. Those flights home come late November, early December. What's it like? You get on the plane. Talk about a cross-country flight. What's it like?
In Cincinnati, I was lucky enough that I'd, sneak a bottle on and just, have the Lord's Supper and just constantly, so I would just drink away my sorrows.
Is there a decent amount of drinking going on the flight?
You know what? You got to be very, very, you got to be a veteran. You got to be savvy. You got to understand your environment. You know what I'm saying,
yeah,
Joe? You
got to
know who you're dealing with.
So it's not an open party on these planes coming home, win or loss.
No. So you have to be careful. And you have to make sure that you know who's there. I might find me a coach that maybe likes a nipper now and then.
Ah.
So I'll be over and I'll
break him off.
Little back. Yeah.
Break him off a taste.
Break him off a little taste. So now, coach, I have him when he's like, hey, Lo, appreciate you. Then you start to do that. You might see a couple of stewardess and, they're going to be on your flight way back. You know what? You say, thank you, guys. You drop her a big C-No. You give her a hundo. Say, you know what? Just you go to dinner night. You guys have fun, you and your girls. Here's another one. Bring me back a bottle of Jack.
You'll do that on the flight out so that they got you set up for the flight back.
Now you're talking.
Boom.
Who was the one?
Boom.
What was the story you told me?
Burnsy knows.
Welcome to the show, Burnsy. It didn't even take an hour.
Boom.
You like that, don't you, Joe? You like that.
It never ceases to amaze me the amount of plays you made both on and off the field throughout your life.
He was good in the fifth quarter, wasn't he?
It's like, forget about this 10-game losing streak. I get the stewardesses with a bottle of cheap Johnny Black back at the plane that we can hit on the way home. Unbelievable. 31-24 is your final, Miami over San Francisco. I'd be remiss if we didn't bring this up because the text line's been hitting on it quite a bit. The Colin Kaepernick off the field situation with Fidel Castro. Last week during the conference call with Miami reporters, Kaepernick was asked about the Fidel Castro t-shirt he had worn earlier in the season. This is from Armando Salgario. I apologize if I'm not getting the name 100% right. He writes for the Miami Herald. He's been there a long time. He's done a remarkable job. He also was born in Cuba. And he tells a story in the 60s of how he and his mother got out, but his father wasn't able to join him for a few years later. Now, some people saw Kaepernick's shirt and, maybe they didn't necessarily understand the situation, pay much attention to it, because Kaepernick kept saying, well, it's a Malcolm X shirt, because Malcolm X was also on the shirt. But for the Miami reporter, it's like, you don't understand. I'm from Cuba. A lot of us here in South Florida are from Cuba. Castro was one of the greatest oppressors of all time. So they had a back and forth on the phone where Cap didn't exactly provide the greatest of answers to help support his cause. And then lo and behold, Fidel Castro ends up passing away, I believe, on Friday, which was the big news coming out of Cuba. So did you read much into that over the weekend, Dibs? I know there are some fans that thought it was, I don't know, the word classless keeps coming up, but this is what's going to happen when you have a movement. And he was put to the test, and he didn't have the best answers, it sounded like, for the situation.
Well, he's a quarterback in the NFL, and he should, in my opinion, focus more on becoming the best quarterback he can be. But if you're going to wear a shirt with a controversial figure and, you know, being out here from California, I don't know firsthand about the effects of Castro, but you start to learn about Castro, and he's probably not the greatest guy, you know, as it turns out. So you're going to represent Malcolm X, who is a great person on the one hand, and then you've got Castro on the shirt as well. You're going to send a mixed message, especially when you go down to Miami and you have to answer these questions. And, you know, he was asked about certain things, and he said, well, you know what Castro did for education, building schools instead of prisons. You know, that's all I was talking about when I'm supporting Castro. So he has Castro on a shirt, but he's going to support good Castro. Bad Castro is bad, but the good Castro, he's all about. It's very difficult when you're mixing sports and politics if you don't know 100% what this person's going to be about, who you're trying to support.
He's got to make sure he's got his facts right, too. He was talking about second in literacy, I believe, in Cuba. Those numbers were incorrect, and those come from the same polling people who say that Castro gets 100% of the vote every time they have an election.
Gotcha.
So you've got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Also, number two, there's a reason they can possibly build more schools than prisons. They don't necessarily incarcerate under Castro. They would kind of take you out back and handle things a different way,
right,
which is why so many people took offense to that situation. Now, regarding the way Kaepernick has played the last few weeks, do you see the Niners bringing him back next season? Is this going to be the best option for them? Because it seems in Chip's offense, with a severe lack of weapons around him, Lowe, you've been hinting at this, that the guy's been playing pretty well, all things considered. Yesterday was a pretty decent performance, all things considered. Is he going to be the best option moving forward?
Who's out there? Tony Romo's not coming here. Who's out there? Colin Kaepernick right now on the open market, if you think about it, I'm taking him over Jay Cutler. I'm taking him over Fitzpatrick. I'm taking him over all the Geno Smith. I'm taking Colin. He's the best option out there right now. And you don't look in the draft. Is there a guy that you really think is going to be your franchise, your future? So I think he's going to have options. I don't think this guy is a guy that can take him back to the Super Bowl or anything like that without a bunch of weapons around him. But I would build through this draft. The Niners are far off. They need a lot of weapons. So you hold put, you stay where you're at, you trade back some picks, get a bunch of draft picks, get a bunch of young guys, and then you let Colin be the bridge for a year or two, and but you build the team again. Right now, this team needs a lot of weapons.
If you've got enough teams out there in need of a quarterback who feel that Kaepernick would bring some, quote, baggage to the table with his movement, whether you agree with it or not, there are some teams that, it's like the Tebow situation. You may have liked the idea of Tebow as the player, but he brought a media circus to town.
Sure.
And a lot of teams didn't want to deal with that. That's what ran him out of the league. He produced enough on the field in a limited amount of time that any other player without the media circus is still in the NFL to an extent, gets a few more years. Tebow got washed out because nobody wanted to deal with the distraction, even if it was positive. With Cap, certain teams are going to feel that way. That could give the Niners an opportunity to get him back at a much cheaper price, especially since the market's going to be flooded with the Jay Cutlers and the Tony Romos of the world. More on that in a little bit. But up next, Super Reporter John Dickinson. He was at the Coliseum yesterday. We're back, baby. The Raiders, 9-2. 1 minute from now, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.